Tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast.
Yeah, welcome. If you are new here, Christy and I watch a horror movie every other week and then we talk about it.
Yeah, and this week we're covering a recommended movie.
Yes, from my friend Marissa. Hi, Marissa. Thank you. Loved it.
We're watching Black Phone from 2021.
Yes, it was great.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Ethan Hawke. We've had him on this list, and yes, he's on one of the lower-end movies of our list. However,
yeah, but
he carried that movie.
He did so well in this.
Yes.
Just unhinged. But before we get too far into it, we should probably cover cast.
Yeah, hit us with the cast.
So the cast is Mason Thames as Finney.
He's great.
Madeline McGraw is Gwen.
Adorable.
Ethan Hawke is the Grabber.
Yeah.
Jeremy Davies is Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
James Ransone is Max. E. Roger Mitchell is Detective Wright. Troy Rudisil is Detective Miller. And Miguel, oh gosh, Cesarez Mora is Robin. And then the kids, besides Robin that played the dead children, are Tristan Preyong is Bruce Yamada. Jacob Moran is Billy, who's the newspaper kid. Banks Rapita is Griffin, who's the lock kid. He's the one that has the weird laugh. Mm-hmm. And then Brady Hepner is Vance, who's the pinball wizard.
Yes. And this movie was adapted by a short story written by Joe Hill, which is Stephen King's son.
Yes.
Big differences that we can point out that they kind of elaborated on. Mm-hmm. So in the book, there's only one dead kid.
Yes.
It just focuses on Bruce as the dead kid. And also, instead of a magician, he's a clown.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the biggest details.
The short story is short.
Yes. It will not take you hardly any time.
No.
To just plow through it.
Maybe 15, 20 minutes. And
yeah.
This movie really elaborates on the idea that gave.
Yeah.
And it's really good. This is also directed by Scott Derrickson.
Yeah. And Tom Savini did the masks.
Yeah. I read that. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah. He didn't do any of the other practical effects. That was another individual that I don't remember their name, but Tom Savini did handle all of the masks,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And they had to make two sets because of COVID.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, anyways, let's get into it. So, this is set in 1978.
Yes.
We know of the Grabber. He is out and about nabbing up them kids.
He grabbing them with his grabby little hands.
Yeah. We're first kind of starting off with a baseball game.
Yes.
So, Finn, who is our main character.
Yep, Finny.
He is a pitcher, and Bruce is his opponent,
mm-hmm.
Up to bat. Finn is doing really well, but then Bruce gets the upper hand, gets a home run. They have a very brief interaction. Mm-hmm. He's like, you almost had me. Your arm is mint. That comes into play later.
So, aware of each other, acquaintances maybe, but nothing beyond that.
They're aware of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we also then cut to a little bit of, like, home life. So we see that it's just his dad, single parent, and he's got a sister.
Younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we also have the children have a very kind of strained relationship with dad because he is an alcoholic.
Yes.
He can be abusive.
Yes.
With his punishment, I don't think he's, like, constantly
no.
abusive. He is just always very harsh.
I also
and
think
his spanking is too far.
Yeah, I also think he's quick to anger. So they don't know what's going to necessarily set him off
yes.
when he's drunk. So they definitely walk on eggshells around
yeah.
that. Not a safe environment necessarily, but
no.
It's not great. Home life is not super great.
No. We do find out what happened to Mom. We'll quick just kind of cover that. Mom had committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he kind of has started downward spiraling, and it wasn't because of him.
No.
Because of something else that we'll cover later. Mm-hmm. But, just want to let you know, she's dead.
So this man, not doing well, and takes it out on his kids.
Right. So the kids are walking to school, and they come across a schoolyard fight, essentially,
mm-hmm.
Where Robin, who's another one of the main children characters,
mm-hmm.
he beats up the school bully
yep.
for doing a racial slur. Robin wins.
Hey, oh, yeah, it dominates.
Robin beats the shit out of him. Like, yes. His face is busted.
And it was because that kid had said something to Finny, right? Because Finny and Robin are friends?
So, he had picked on Finny for a lot. But Robin gave him essentially an out to walk away from the fight. Mm-hmm. But the kid made a very harsh racial slur and against Robin, and Robin didn't
Robin
like that.
Robin had a great kick.
Robin is great.
Robin is so cool. He's everything I wish I could have been,
He's, like, in the 70s, he was definitely, like, he watched a lot of Bruce Lee movies.
Yeah, Karate Kid.
He watched some horror movies. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid has learned how to stand up for himself.
He knows what's happening.
He knows how to survive. Mm-hmm. He be surviving and thriving out in these streets.
Yes. Well.
For now. So, we get to school. Mm-hmm. Finny, we see him, like, eyeing up a girl he likes.
He's making little eyes.
So, like, and they're in the same science class. Mm-hmm. They're not partners yet, but they will become, like, lab partners and everything. And it's gonna be super cute. And once the bell rings to get out of class, Finny is running away from more school bullies.
Yes, he is.
Tries to hide. They find him. Robin
steps into the bathroom. He basically tells him to get out.
Fuck off.
Yeah. And they do, because they just watch Robin obliterate somebody else.
And Robin's cleaning up blood the cuts from his hands because it split his knuckles when he punched the kid, like, 10 times.
And we didn't mention this, but the kid was probably twice his size.
Yeah. And, like, Robin's like, man, can you believe that his teeth went into my knuckles when I punched him, like, 10 times? And he's just washing off the blood. He's like, wouldn't stop bleeding all of the entire first class.
Yeah.
And he's just staring at the bullies. And he's like, well, kind of just sucks. I mean, look at all this blood. Half of it's not even mine.
Oh, no. And then they just kind of leave.
Yes. Finny and Robin, we realize that they are
friends,
and they help each other out in the fact that Robin sticks up for Finny, and that Finny helps him with schoolwork.
Yes.
Primarily math.
Yeah.
So, we understand that they have a nice little dynamic.
They're buds. Like, they're buds.
Well, a couple days later, the grabber gets Robin.
Yeah, we see Robin walking towards a black van out in the background with a man standing in front of it. And that's kind of where that cuts off.
Very, very much I have some candy in my van, little boy, you want
yeah.
It gives those vibes, and rightfully so. So, after that, like, the missing posters go up, and Gwen also, the younger sister, she has been having dreams about the grabber.
Yeah.
And has been kind of talking to her girlfriends, be like, he's got black balloons. Mm-hmm. I see X, Y, and Z, and it was just a dream. Mm-hmm. Well, the police are like, well, we didn't divulge that to the
general public.
So we're going to go talk to this little girl. This little girl is 10 out of 10.
Feisty.
Oh, yeah. Like, originally she wasn't going to be able to do this movie due to scheduling, so they moved all of scheduling around her just to get her on this movie because she was 10 out of 10.
I'm glad they did, because she is 10 out of 10.
I can't picture any other young actress in this role.
No. And she did phenomenal. She's very quick, but also really good at, like, crying and being emotional in more than one way besides, like, anger and wittiness.
And there's a scene that, like, she didn't have anyone directing her to do certain choices that she made that were in the movie.
She's great. Would love to see what she does in the future.
Yeah. So, Gwen pretty much snaps at the police. She's pretty much like, you guys aren't doing anything and you're wasting your time talking to me.
Yeah.
You really think that I did it?
Yeah, you pieces of shit.
Look at me. You think I could take Robin? Robin. No. I can't take
that
man.
She tells him.
Yeah.
She tells him like it is.
Yeah. So, later on that night,
This was Bruce's. Actually, this is Bruce's disappearance. This is before.
Yeah.
Because they find out about Robin when they're home.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah.
Yeah, yes. They do.
Yes, they do, but she was talking about this to the sister.
Yes.
But it's
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So she had stayed the night at a friend's. Mm-hmm. Finny was watching The Tingler at home. He wakes up to the screams of his sister. Mm-hmm. because the police contacted their dad,
yep,
saying, we talked to your child who's having dreams about this, mm-hmm, premonitions, and he's beating her in the back and the butt with a belt,
yeah,
saying, your dreams are just dreams, and telling her to repeat it.
He is not Shia LaBeoufing this at all.
No. No. And so she is hurt. She's hurting.
Yeah, she's crying. She's sobbing.
Oh, yeah. And so a couple days after Robin gets abducted, after all of this, Finn gets abducted.
Yeah, so she goes to her friend's house every Friday night, so, mm-hmm, Susanna? No, sorry, that's his sister's name in the...
Susie's
house, Gwen?
Her name is Gwen.
Anyway, Susanna is the name of the sister in the short story. Gwen goes to her friend's house, and then, you know, she's fine. Finny walks home alone. He runs into a man who drops some stuff on the ground. He offers to help pick it up, and then gets abducted by the grabber. The grabber basically, like, it's like these balloons to cover the fact that he's bringing a child into his black van, and then he sprays...
It's a sleeping gas.
Yeah, into his mouth, eyes area. In the short story, it's a wasp spray, like a wasp repellent, and that gets in his eyes, but that doesn't really happen in this.
No, it's a sleeping agent.
Mm-hmm. So, and Finn's knocked out. Oh, yeah, and he stabs him.
Stabs him with his little flashlight rocket.
Mm-hmm.
So now Finny is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So when Finny is abducted, he is put into a basement with just essentially a mattress and a broken black phone. There, mm-hmm, is a bathroom down there, and there is a small window, but otherwise, it's soundproof, it's cement. He's not getting out of there easily.
No.
So he is very delirious. Throughout this time here, just because it's going to be just easier to just do it in chunks.
Yeah.
So throughout this time, the grabber does feed him, does visit him a lot, and is changing out his masks from happy to sad to blank. Like,
yeah,
he's changing it up a lot.
But never has his face fully exposed.
Correct. So it's either a half face, either with just the eyes and the bottom. It could be the full face. It could just be the smile.
Different mask bottoms as well.
Yeah.
There's a happy face. There's a sad face. There's, mm-hmm, like a smiling. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So when Finny is kind of just getting oriented in the very beginning,
mm-hmm,
the broken phone does ring.
Mm-hmm.
And when he answers it, it is Bruce's voice.
Yes. The pitcher. The baseball player, sorry.
Yes. Bruce doesn't remember his name.
No.
So we find out real quick that the longer they've been dead, they start to forget things.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner you've been killed, you have a fresher memory.
And Bruce, was he dead the longest then?
No.
Okay. He was the last before, so like two times ago before Robin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So Bruce is like, hey, this happened. I started to dig a tunnel underneath the floor in, mm-hmm, the bathroom. I would continue there. And so when Finn has downtime, he is digging up and, mm-hmm, flushing down the dirt, yes, into the toilet.
It's actually very smart.
And then covers it up with a rug so that it's not obvious, yes, that he's digging a hole. So the grabber also has a time where he leaves the door unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
We get another phone call before Finn can...
Go upstairs.
Go upstairs. And that individual, I believe, is the paperboy.
Yeah. That's Billy?
Yes.
Yeah.
The paperboy. Because he just demands to be called the paperboy.
Yes. He doesn't want to be called Billy.
Because he doesn't remember that as his name. He's right. Like, this is the only thing I can remember. Just keep reaffirming that that's, mm-hmm, me.
We get little snippets of how these guys were taken.
Because Gwen is having dreams about each of the kids' abductions.
Yes. Yeah.
So while Finny is talking to them, she's getting dreams from those individuals.
Yes.
So the paperboy is like, don't go upstairs. He's playing a game with you. If you go upstairs, you're going to get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
So just hang out here. Instead, I started pulling up a cord.
Mm-hmm.
I hid it underneath the slabs,
mm-hmm,
use that, and you could probably get out.
The bars off the window.
or climb up to the window to try and get out. So he does that, but he breaks the window grate on accident.
Yes.
And kind of knocks himself out a little bit.
Yeah, he hits the ground pretty hard.
Yeah. So Gwen dreams of Billy, and in doing so, she's like, I gotta tell Dad. So she's like, Dad, I need to talk to you. I understand where you're coming from.
Yes.
But if this can help me find Finny to bring him home,
yes,
I'm going to do it.
And we find out that their mom commits suicide because she was also clairvoyant, had some kind of medium abilities, and she couldn't discern reality from, I think,
she heard, dreams? She was getting it too much and she didn't know how to control it.
So she ended her life. And the dad is heartbroken about this, and he's just worried that Gwen is going to have that happen to her, which is why he's scared, and he uses his own fear as fear against her to keep doing what she's doing. But he does listen to her this time. He does.
Yes, because he wants to find his son.
Yes. So I think they get in the car.
They drive around a little bit because she had seen a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking for a brick house with this large, like, oak-type tree.
Kind of a gnarled old tree.
And it also explains why Finny can hear the dead kids. Mm-hmm. Because the phone did ring for all of them, but Finny's the first one who can hear them.
Yes.
So he probably also has some abilities from Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Just not the dream portion. So he can hear the dead kids, and Gwen can see
the dead scenes. Kids. She can see them, he can hear them.
Well, he can see them, too. Because he's seen...
That's true, he sees Robin and stuff, so yeah.
Yes, but he also sees the kid floating in the corner.
Yep.
And also the bully.
Yeah.
That I can't remember his name, which I'm sure is somewhere down here. Vance.
Yeah.
I'm like, glance, guy? Yes. So that's kind of why Finny is, and also the grabber can hear when the phone rings.
Yes.
So that's also kind of important, because he's just kind of crazy.
Unhinged.
So the detectives are still on the case. Mm-hmm. They go and talk to Max, who is a coked up dude. Who's in town on vacay, just kind of visiting family, and he is on the case.
Yeah.
He's like, he's got to be in this area. Now, the cops kind of dismiss him because he's coked out of his mind.
Yeah, there's literally lines of coke on the table. Like,
yes.
He fully using right in front of the cops.
Yes.
But he is, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, with the strings on the board vibes, trying to figure out this murder.
Yeah. Max, this character was written in so that the movie had some kind of a break in between just the constant, like, children are getting kidnapped and getting murdered, yeah, and it's really bad news bears.
Mm-hmm.
Max is a breath of fresh air. We've also seen this actor before. He plays the adult Eddie in It Chapter 2.
Yep.
He's also in Sinister.
Yes. He plays the cop.
Yeah. So... Which makes sense because the director has worked on Sinister, Ethan Hawke, and it's a whole bunch of stuff.
They know these actors, the director knows these actors and stuff, and it works well.
So. We do find out later that Max is the grabber's brother, and the cops were in the correct house.
Yeah.
Where Finny was currently being held. But
they didn't know.
They didn't know.
And Max didn't know.
No.
Max has no fucking idea.
No. So... The next event for Finny, he speaks to another victim named Griffin on the phone, and this is the boy with the combination lock for a bike. So he etched it on the wall, and it's broken up kind of weird, so he doesn't know if it's like...
23, 13, 7, 2, 3.
He doesn't know the pairings, so he's got to try them all. Because the grabber had stolen his bike lock, and now he uses it as the door lock of the house. And Griffin calls him and is like, okay, the grabber's asleep upstairs. The door is unlocked. Now is your one and only fucking chance, dude.
Go, my guy. Go.
Be free. But the second Finny gets the door unlocked,
the doggy goes bark.
The dog goes off, and the grabber recaptures him.
Yeah. That was horrible watching that.
You're like, there's too much time in this movie. There's no way.
Yeah, this is like halfway through, and I'm like, he doesn't get out here. But I hate that he doesn't get out here, you know?
I mean, it's a very good effort.
Mm-hmm. And he does scream. He does get the attention of the neighbors, but they don't come outside because the grabber holds, what, like a knife to his throat and basically says, I'm going to kill you if you make another sound.
Yeah. Which, those neighbors should have walked out.
Yeah.
If you
This is the 70s, though!
If you are... Okay. It's the 70s, but this is also the time where the most mass murders are happening. And also, you're in the town where the most kids are being abducted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you hear a kid screaming in the middle of the night outside asking for help, mm-hmm. wouldn't you put two and two together that maybe the grabber is in your neighborhood snatching up them kids?
People can't be bothered. He's giving me a look.
Can't be fucking bothered, my aunt.
But anyway, takes him back.
Yeah, so Finn's knocked out a little bit. He wakes up and he gets another phone call, and this time it's from Vance.
And that's the pinball man.
Yes, pinball, late 70s, early 80s metal kid.
Rocking that.
Big curly hair.
Got some anger issues.
Permed up hair. So Gwen is seeing his memories as well. At the same time as Finn's talking to him, because mm-hmm. we see the scenes kind of intertwine.
Yes.
So, we learn from Vance that Vance had broken the wall. There's mm-hmm. a hole in the wall that leads to a freezer in the adjacent storage room. So, Finn is like, alright, I'm on it. And he grabs the back end of the toilet, mm-hmm. and he chisels his way through. But the freezer cannot be unlocked from the inside.
Yeah. It's like a heavy-duty industrial freezer sort of style. Yeah. So, this is a dead end. And this is the first time we see Finny actually break down and cry.
Because everything he's tried so far has failed.
Yes. And
he's gotten so close. Every single attempt.
He's getting weaker. Like, he doesn't get enough food. He gets fed scrambled eggs, like, every once in a while. And he knows that it's only a matter of time before the grabber decides to kill him.
Yes. And so, at this point, then, the phone rings one more time, mm-hmm. and it's Robin.
Yeah. This part's cool. I like the scene, but it's also really sad.
Yeah. I like the imagery in this, because they're both kind of...
They're sparring. Mirrors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Robin's like, hey, this is the last phone call.
He's gonna kill
you. You have to use everything we taught you, everything we told you about. Here's how you fight. This is how you use the phone as a weapon. Mm-hmm. Be free, my friend. Make it out for me.
Yeah, because I didn't.
So Gwen finally gets enough of the visions to figure out what the grabber's house fully looks like. Mm-hmm. And when she's bicycling around, she gets stopped by all the dead kids.
Yeah.
She finds the house, and she now is booking it to the police. Mm-hmm. So she books it home, calls the police, like, hey, meet me here. Dad, we gotta fucking go.
Yeah.
Well, she bikes back. Dad doesn't go with her on right. this one. She bikes back, she meets the cops there, and the cops are starting to go through a house.
Yes.
And it's empty.
It is bare.
Yes. Meanwhile, we cut back to Finn. Finn is fighting the grabber. Mm-hmm. After the grabber had just killed Max.
So with Max comes down. Max figures, he's like,
he figures it out and comes downstairs.
He's like, our house is in the middle of all this shit. So he walks downstairs, he opens the door, he's like, holy shit, I knew my brother was acting shady, and doesn't see his brother behind him, who takes an axe straight to his fucking head. Yes. And then the grabber's mad because Finny, quote-unquote, made him kill his brother, right?
Right. Also, the doggo is down there. So the doggo is blocking the door.
Yeah, he can't get out. So can't run past.
Finny manages to dodge the grabber's mm-hmm. stuff, but immobilizes the grabber by leading him into the hole in the wall, or the hole in the floor.
That he dug from Bruce's stuff.
And also tripped him with the wire mm-hmm. that he found, then uses the phone to beat him.
Yeah, and the grates in there from the Billy Kid, which prevents the grabber to from getting back out because he
snaps his ankles.
So gross.
So then he uses the phone cord to strangle the grabber. Mm-hmm. Then the phone rings, which I love this part.
This is so cool.
He's like, "It's for you." And the grabber now hears all the dead kids.
Yeah.
And
their little catchphrases, the things that they were saying to Finny, mm-hmm. are in there. It's really, really well done. I really like that part.
And Finny snaps his neck with the phone cord. Mm-hmm. So once Finny walks out, we realize that the cops were at the house across the street. That's where all the dead bodies are.
Yeah, which is why it was a bare house. No one was actually living in it. It was literally just a place to hide the bodies.
Yes. And Finny walks out, and he's literally across the street, and he sees his sister. Mm-hmm. Family reunited.
Dad apologizes, and I think that's the movie.
He goes back to school.
Yes, he does.
Super confident, sits next to his crush, and...
And the bullies don't fuck with him anymore because he killed a grown-ass man.
Yeah, that Robin couldn't even do. So if he could, he could kill someone that Robin couldn't, we're not fucking.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
So our kill count's 7.
Yeah, it's a lot of kids.
5 kids, 2 adults.
Sad. Big sad. This is an intense watch. It's really, really good.
So fucking good, man.
But it is very intense.
Yeah.
And there's, because it's a male serial killer that's capturing little boys,
the subtext is there.
Yeah, and I had never seen it. Oh, no, you had seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, there isn't any of that, right? And you're like, no. And I'm like, good.
The subtext is there, and that's all you need.
Yes.
Because also, the game he plays called Naughty Boy, come on. That is definitely sex offender...
And he watches him while he sleeps one time. He literally is down there. He's like, "What are you doing?" Finny asks him. He's like, "I just really like looking at you." No. And it's referenced by Billy, but there's 2 stages, right? Naughty boy, and then there's something else. And we never know what that something else is.
Because Finny never gets there. Right. He doesn't play the game.
Which is why I think he survived so long, because... By his own serial killer rules, he couldn't escalate with Finny.
Right. Because he has to break the rules in order to...
To justify the kill, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So, let's do some fun facts.
Yeah.
So, the Paperboy character is in reference to Johnny Gosch, I believe is his last name. He's a paperboy from Iowa who... had a dog, but disappeared. Dog was found later, but Johnny's disappearance remains unsolved today.
Which is pretty much exactly the kid had a big old golden retriever with him.
Oh, yeah.
A big old woofer, and that woofer did nothing because he's a very happy little man, but...
He's a good boy.
Yeah. But Ethan Hawke, for a long time, wouldn't play villains. I'm really glad he decided to do it for this movie.
Me too.
He is so good in this role. He just plays it really well, especially for, not being able to see most of his face the whole time.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know. Ethan Hawke is the slam dunk for this movie.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree. The grabber wears, a stovepipe hat when he's abducting kids, and that is a tie-in to Dr. Sleep from Stephen King. Mm-hmm. So, his dad and him have very similar styles, obviously.
Yeah, I've only read this short story by Joe Hill. I've never read any of his other work, though.
The tropes are definitely there.
Okay. He's definitely his father's son, is what you're telling
me. Yes, the influences are not lost on me.
Hmm. But who's the better writer, though, Christy?
Okay, I think Stephen King can be a little bit drier. Mm-hmm. Granted, he also had a coke phase, so, during the coke phase, you kind of gotta take those books with a grain of salt, because he doesn't remember half time of writing. I don't think he remembers writing Cujo.
Jesus, dude.
And, I know Pet Sematary, he put off publishing for quite a long time, because it scared the shit out of him.
Yeah, it was creepy. Well, it is creepy. I've never read Pet Sematary, but I know the story.
I think you would like the book. It's fucked up.
Well, there's parts of it that are fucked up. There's parts of, the other books we've read.
Yes, but in the book of Pet Sematary, spoiler for Pet Sematary.
It's a little boy, right?
It's a little boy that kills...
His entire family.
With, a syringe and a scalpel, and it's...
Graphic.
very graphic. So this is, this, but going back to this movie, is also set in a time frame of, like, Ted Bundy and the Manson family and things of that nature,
I even called Ethan Hawke's character Ted Bundy when he, like, drops the stuff on the ground.
It's a very similar way to, like,
lure people in.
Yeah, because you're acting helpless. Mm-hmm. So you let the person's guard down, mm-hmm. and they're willing to help you, mm-hmm. so then you overpower them that way. Ted Bundy did that with a cast, trying to get little canoes off of his little
Ted
bug.
Ted Bundy had the added bonus of being conventionally attractive.
He did. And he was after women. Now, mm-hmm. also, we see that again in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And that was a more Ed Gein character. He had a cast, mm-hmm. and was luring women into his van.
Yep.
So, like, Ted Bundy is one of the most influential people in the horror movie.
Yeah.
Ed Gein is another one. Gacy.
Yes.
Ooh, Gacy's a rough one. Gacy,
him and Albert Fish.
Albert Fish is probably the worst one I've ever heard about because of the shit he's done to little girls.
Yeah.
And it's like,
literally took them from people's house, like, right under their noses.
Oh, yeah. He's like, hey, can your little girl come with me? I'm going to take her to my niece's
birthday party. And he takes her.
Yeah.
And they never see him again.
No. He bought a one-way ticket for that girl and a two-way ticket for him, and nobody asked questions at the train station?
People were dumb. I'm telling you, people can't be bothered.
I understand that, but in this day,
nowadays it would be different.
Yes.
It would be different.
We'd be like, is that your child?
Albert Fish is a while ago, right?
Albert Fish is a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he's just a fucked up dude. Because he was also a very much a masochist type of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of issues. He had problems a lot later in his life because of what he decided to do to his body.
He really just liked
pointy objects.
Pointy objects going under his fingernails.
And other places.
His back. His penis.
Yeah, you know.
You know,
that's right.
Putting rose stems up there. It's a vase.
No, but yeah, he's him and the Candyman really fuck me up.
Candyman's a rough one.
But
yeah, but back to this.
Yeah, same vein. The Grabber's in the same vein as those.
I would say the Grabber's biggest influences were definitely Manson, Ted Bundy, and Gacy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Those, I think, are the big three for...
Especially considering he was a clown in the short story.
Right. And going after little boys.
Mm-hmm. That's Gacy.
That's Gacy. The motive, or, like, the way of capturing, mm-hmm. Bundy. Manson family, the terror.
Yes. Yeah. It just, yeah, not great.
No.
And that's why this movie is really intense. So, like...
Yes.
No, it is a very good movie, but know what you're signing up for when you watch it.
It took 6 weeks to write and then 33 days to film. Which, honestly, not a bad, like, time frame.
That's pretty quick. I mean, you have...
It's a quick time frame for now.
A really solid idea in the short story.
Yes.
And they did a really good job expanding on it to a point where, like, you can tell it's authentically still that short story's idea, but they made it better for a feature-length film. Like, I think the movie is a better story than the short story is. But they couldn't have done it without the short story.
Right. And that's what it is. It's a short story. Mm-hmm. And, like, I like movies that have an original idea or are expanding on something already created. Mm-hmm. Not copying and pasting.
Right.
And then editing down and watering it down, mm-hmm. to the point of it being shitty.
Yes.
And discrediting the source material.
Yep.
We've seen a lot of movies that have done that.
Yeah.
For a non-horror fan, if you want an example, Aragorn. Biggest example of that.
Never read or saw that, so.
Don't watch it. I would recommend reading it because the next line of books are coming out in that universe, so I would recommend it. He does very good writing. But that is probably the biggest example in my brain of the worst book-to-movie adaptation on this planet.
Percy Jackson.
Aragorn is worse.
That's bad too.
It's bad, but Aragorn is worse.
Oh Jesus.
And I will die on that hill.
They could have had a wonderful movie franchise with Percy Jackson if they had stuck to the actual source material, and they didn't.
If you guys didn't know, Kelly and I are also very bookish people.
Yeah. Well, especially, I got back into reading this year, and I'm like 30 books, I think, this year, which is really good for me, for someone who hasn't read in like 5 years.
I have an actual running list of my finished books of 2023.
You are so much higher than I am.
And I really want to know what it is. Let me highlight real quick. I've reached 100 books, Kelly! For 2023. Granted, I also listen to audiobooks.
Yes, I do not.
That adds up quickly, but I'm a slow reader physically. Mm-hmm. But I do read a lot of physical books, too.
It has been a fun year. Christy and I have swapped titles and stuff like that. So, oh, yeah. But, yeah, Percy Jackson was one of my favorite, like, book series as a kid. Up until a certain point. I'm not sure if I actually ever finished that series, because I almost, like, aged out of it a little bit while it was still being written. Whereas, like, Harry Potter, I aged with it.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Harry Potter, I also aged with it. I went to every single movie.
I remember being so mad in theaters that my family was on vacation when the seventh movie, part two, came out, the last one, and I wanted to go to the midnight premiere of it. I was, like, finally, like, kind of old enough to do so, and we were on vacation and we couldn't. I can't tell you how mad I was about that.
I'm pretty sure I went to the midnight showing, and I was dressed up as Bellatrix for it.
You would slay.
I just teased my hair and put on a black cloak and put on some red lipstick. I'm like,
that works. You're in a movie theater.
I was also in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that was me now and we were seeing something like,
you go all out.
I'm trying to think of what we would dress up to go to
God,
see.
God, there's nothing right now.
There's nothing right now, but like,
if like ACOTAR ever came out with a movie.
Okay, but ACOTAR is coming out with a TV series that's gonna be so watered down, I'm gonna hate the series more than I hate Tamlin.
I'm gonna let other people watch it first, and then if they say it's really bad, I won't bother. But if it's redeeming, maybe I'll give it a shot.
No, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go in with as much of an open mind as possible.
Yes.
Without anyone whispering into my ears about their opinions.
That's fair.
And I'm gonna try and get the rawest, like,
maybe me and you should, like, if it depends,
we'll
on
have
how
a little watch
out
party.
Yeah, me and you will watch together.
I'm sure Bobby will probably watch too, because he would want to see our reactions and tear
so
it apart, because I love him to death. He will listen to my book rants and remember the characters that I hate, and he's like, so how's Tamlin doing? I'm like, fuck Tamlin.
Matt's very,
he's like,
funny.
How's our baby boy Dane doing in fourth week? I'm like,
oh, we have books to discuss, but we're very off topic now.
Yeah. Go read the short story. Actually, that the whole book that
this is a part of,
all the short stories in there are really, really good. There's one where like a crazed chainsaw guy is chasing someone through the woods.
Ooh.
It's great. That one was really good. Joe Hill does some good stuff with some short stories.
Okay. If you just want to read this short story, though, you can just type it into Google and you will be able to find it.
Some more fun facts. So, Finny's conversations with the missing kids on the phone were actually shot like that. So,
mm-hmm.
They did hook up the phone to have that full back and forth conversation.
Yes. I don't have any
in
other
real
fun
time
facts.
Neither do I, really. Oh, I know that, some influential movies that Scott Dickerson had were, like, 400 Blows from 1959 and The Devil's Backbone,
which we have watched, which you should, if you haven't watched that, go watch it, listen to our podcast episode on it.
I loved that movie.
Fantastic movie.
I would watch that movie again.
I would, too. It's all in Spanish as well. It's by Guillermo del Toro.
And that was recommended to us by
Long Box of Darkness?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. My brain short circuited.
I saw you, like, getting there. I was like,
I said it so many times, and then all of a sudden my brain just was like, eh?
No. You can't remember.
Do you have taglines?
I have one. Never talk to strangers.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have some reviews. So I have a 4-star review saying, they have Ethan Hawke sitting there shirtless with a belt in a hand, and I'm supposed to be scared?
Yeah.
That's from a female. I'm thinking she's more turned on than
yeah.
Skirt.
Yeah.
It's like, It's like,
and
those
he's in his 50s. Yeah. He does not look like he's in
it's
his
like 50s. Those Instagram things on like BookTok or like anime or anything like that. Like, you're kidnapped and the kidnapper's like screaming, "You're, I'm going to kiss you," and it's a hot dude and they're like, "Ah!"
Yeah, yep, yep.
It's like that.
Yep.
And then I have a 3.5-star, a movie about the two scariest concepts known to man, getting on phone calls and middle-aged magicians.
No, but actually.
Yeah. So let's grade this shit.
So Christine and I have 5 questions that we grade on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 total, 50 each, 100 total. Wow, my brain also short-circuited.
Yeah, it's been a long Wednesday for
us. It has felt like today has been Thursday all day, and I know it's not, right? But I'm having problems.
Same. So, first question, was this a good horror movie?
8. Yeah, I love this movie. I would recommend this. It's very good.
Acting?
8.
8. Special effects?
8.
9. They're all practical. I love that. Compelling story, interesting twist?
6.
7.
It's predictable, but it's good.
It's predictable, but there are a few things that you're just like, that's real good. And keeps you interested.
Yes, agree.
Character development and writing.
7.
7.
Yeah, so my total was a 37.
Mine's a 39. So that gives us a 76. And we're putting that in between Saw 6 on the lower end and Hellraiser on top.
So, next episode
is gonna be Cringemas.
Yeah, we hit up against this. We were like, oh my gosh, it's actually time for Cringemas. This will be our only episode in December as well, because
this drops in December.
The first. You're right. Yep. We're taking a break around Christmas and New Year's for that week, so.
Which we always do. Mm-hmm. It's not a shock, but we will be back.
Yes.
So, we for Cringemas, we pick 2 of the kind of cringiest-looking spooky movies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be on theme, which they are not this year. We had one last year that was on theme.
Yes.
Which was Ginger Dead Man, and that was, I think, still our, no, it's our second to least worst.
Which one was our least worst?
The Requin.
Oh, The Requin is awful. Yeah.
The Requin is like 7 points below this.
Yeah. Ginger Dead Man was at least somewhat enjoyable. It was fun to make fun of. Requin, we couldn't even follow. Like,
no.
It was bad.
The sub-stories of, like, the traumatic water birth
shit. Yeah, what was that? Bad. But at least, like, the Ginger
and,
Dead
and
Man.
And the fact that it's recommended as a shark movie. And we only get 5 full minutes of shark movie.
Yeah, it's bad.
In this movie. And it's real bad CGI.
Oh, it's like, terrible.
It's from a turtle documentary.
Yeah. And the grid. You're in the grid.
And the waves of her drifting into the current instead of with the current.
Yep. Anyway, so we have 2 cringy movies that we're going to cover.
Both of which are recommended and already picked.
So, are we announced? Yeah,
we're going to announce them. So, the first one was recommended.
By Marissa, thank you. She has done this one, and this next one, we're going to watch Velocipastor.
Yep. And we also had someone pick our next movie after that one, which will be Killer Sofa.
Oh!
Which has been on the list for Cringemas before and has been voted on, so we figured we'd finally cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably have Bobby again on the show, who was on last Christmas. So, and he really introduced us to, like, probably one of the best movies of our time.
Yeah, and he also...
Dude, Girl, Party, Massacre 3.
That is just phenomenal.
So.
Phenomenal.
Yes, my very scaredy cat boyfriend, he will watch the cringy stuff with us.
It's not scary, it's just bad.
And he... God bless him. He's watched all the Scream movies.
Oh, this is good. Good for him.
He went to the movies to see Renfield with me, which is a comedy horror.
Oh, I want
to
see that. I didn't know you went to see that.
I want to, what else? He watched the original Halloween with me.
Okay.
He's watched The Menu, which is a newer horror movie.
Yep.
I know we're going to watch Cabin in the Woods at some point.
Yes. Yes.
So, he's easing his way into a few select movies. He'll never watch Saw. He'll never watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's fair. They're not for everyone.
But he'll watch some of the more, like, artistic-esque.
Okay. You should have him watch The Devil's Backbone.
Maybe.
It's a little bit gory, but it's not too bad.
Gore, I don't think, is so much his problem unless it's, like, extreme gore, like what Saw and Hostel are.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do well with, like, jump scares.
Oh, then maybe not.
Yeah, that's definitely why I'm, like,
Paranormal that's Activity. That's why I'm,
like, maybe not. Like, he enjoyed The Menu, and okay. that one is more of, like, a little bit psychological thriller.
What about, like, Shutter Island?
That one might be a little rough for him.
Okay, I love that movie. We should cover that at some point.
So I have to kind of, like, I pick ones I'm like, you yeah. could handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gauge him from there. So, but, yeah, he'll watch these with us. And I had him choose out of our other cringy options. So he picked Killer Sofa.
Which I'm very excited. Good pick.
So, yeah, that's our plan for next time. If you want to join in, if you like our artwork as much as we do.
Yeah, go check out my sister Danny at Danny Draws Dragons on Instagram. She's fantastic. Or, also check out our episode on Annihilation, which she does guest host. She just told me she finished that trilogy, because that is a trilogy of books, and really loved it. So, if you're big into sci-fi, would recommend reading those. The adaptation of the movie is a little bit different, because the book is extremely, like, it's very weird. It's not really good for an adaptation to a movie, so I'm not entirely sure why they did that, but they did, so.
Oh, and then they casted Natalie Portman.
Well, I mean.
So, if you're new to this podcast,
We shit on Natalie Portman a lot.
We do. We shit on her a lot. We've covered two movies with her in it, Black Swan and Annihilation, and they are both very low on the list.
Black Swan is better than Annihilation, I think.
Yes, according to our list, it is slightly better, but we also had a guest on Annihilation, which is why Annihilation is right underneath Black Swan.
Yeah.
If it was just you and I covering it, it's like a 7-point difference.
Yeah, that's pretty massive.
For us to have that kind of difference, yeah. Usually we're pretty
even.
We're pretty even in our choices, except for, like,
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch is a big one. I know, like, Nightmare on Elm Street is also one, I think, that we have a bit of a gap between our opinions, but that's just because...
That's a lot of the ending, and...
That's just also because I fucking love it.
And I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Blair Witch is the same way, just opposite. I love it, you don't.
I fucking hate it. I tried. I also gave that movie the best shot possible. I watched it at midnight in the dark on my laptop with headphones on.
No, it's fair. It's I not gave everybody's...
It, I gave it its best shot when we covered it, because I didn't want to shit on it, but
it's creepy.
It didn't hold up for me, and so I had to shit on it. So, but if you want to join in the conversation, give us movie recommendations, help us vote on stuff, tell us how we're doing.
Say hi.
We have a Facebook group at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast, and you can DM us or follow us on Twitter at @AUnnerved. That's kind of where we post a lot. We haven't really been posting, to be honest. We're really bad at the social media aspect.
We're so good at this, Christy. But, like, I don't know what you're talking
about.
But
we check messages and stuff, so we're around to, like, listen to your input. So, but yeah. And also I have an Instagram if you want to look at any of my spooky
season.
That you
are good about, though. That you're very active on.
That's my networking for horror stuff. So, like, if you want to go check out my makeups and stuff from the past couple seasons of The Haunted House and whatnot, I'm Lilith_Hilltopple. Everything we just listed is going to be in the description below, as always. If you have any ideas of what guests we want to bring back, we're always down to listen to that.
Yep.
So, we love all of our friends, and they are more than willing to come on. So, if you want to hear other people's opinions besides us, to be like, oh my god. Christy, oh my god, Kelly, girl, if you want to break from that, let us know who to bring back to kind of break that up.
We will have a break from that with Bobby for next episode.
Which Bobby's great, and he can go from 0 to 100 at the drop of a hat with his opinions, and they're hilarious to me.
Yes, I'm excited.
If you want an example of that, go back to last year's episode, listen to that, because his opinions on Ginger Dead Man were
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
It is a delightful movie to watch, probably drunk, with a bunch of friends. So
we probably will not cover any of the other ones in that series, because that is a series.
It is. What, it's got like three or four?
I think it's got four. There's like two and three, and then Ginger Deadman versus Evil Wong,
I think. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it's he's facing off against
the disco in the third movie, I think.
I don't know. I know I haven't watched those shit.
I just remember researching it last year. I think that was a thing.
Yeah, I guess. But anyways, stay safe.
Yes,
stay safe. It's getting cold. Watch out for ice. Yes. I mean, we're from Wisconsin. It's already...
I have a friend...
Hell has already frozen over here.
I have a friend who flipped their car this weekend, so... Yes, I will tell you more about that.
Girl!
Yeah,
see?
I...
See? It came
yeah,
out.
And that it was our really, like, our second snow of the season, so
is she okay?
Care. She's fine.
Okay.
But yes.
You can't just drop that and have, like, well, have ever...
Yeah, she posted pictures of her car on social media, and I went, holy fucking shit, and, like, texted her right away. Okay. But she's fine.
And also stay spooky.
Yeah.
Because...
It's always spooky season.
Just because Halloween has ended, okay, doesn't mean that you can't live your truth.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. That is
my dreams are just dreams! Anyways, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for Cringemas! Bye!